Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle.
Hello, Circle members, and welcome to bonus episode 12. Thank you so much for logging in and joining. And I truly hope that today's episode supports you. So it's interesting that after I recorded Ashley Wood's opening the Akashic Records of the Trauma Healer Circle, I got that episode published, and then I was literally drawing a blank for what to do for your second bonus episode for July 2021. And I was meditating on it last week, and as soon as I got up from meditating, I had an urge, a message, a nudge to check in with the community forum. So I logged in, I checked in, and I saw that a new topic had been posted by one of our members. And as soon as I read their question, I knew, okay, this is what the second bonus episode for July is going to be about. So here we are. So I'm going to read the question from the forum, and then I will chime in with my answer. So this person said, it seems most people in self-healing talk about distant past trauma, mainly from childhood. So it's not likely for someone to be living in the same environment as their childhood. So what do you do if you find yourself in an environment that is continuing to torment you? It seems obvious to escape once you realize your situation, but life is more complicated than that. I'm getting frustrated with feeling like I'm not making progress in my healing. I rarely feel good about myself and where I'm at. Maybe I'm just being impatient. I started to ask myself why and realized that I'm trying to change and grow in the same environment that I've been suffering in for years, which got me thinking about all the little traumas that come from that environment. I'm codependent and I fawn and I people please, and that makes it so hard to prioritize me. It feels hopeless to grow here. Does anyone have insights or thoughts on this? So there is some discussion happening in the forum on this topic where a couple of other members have weighed in and they have given really sound, solid advice. And I just want to take this opportunity to expand on some of what other people have shared and also share my own insights and thoughts. So, first of all, I want to make it abundantly clear that this is a very, very complex topic. There isn't a binary yes or no, right or wrong answer for this question. That would make it so much easier. But alas, that is not where we find ourselves. And typically with healing trauma, we almost never find ourselves in that simple place. It's very complex. It's very nuanced. And there's so many different factors in this equation, right? When we have been in a relationship with someone and we've built a life with that person and we have kids with that person and we've bought a house with that person and we have friends with that person and our lives become sort of tangled up together. And that's the way that significant partnerships and marriages work. And I don't think that there is a way to completely avoid that. Something that my husband and I have talked about for the last 3 years is how do we maintain autonomy and independence and a sense of self and have our own lives and our own interests and, you know, all of these things that we need to have as independent adults and also have a relationship where we feel loved and cared for and nurtured and safe and supported. And, you know, how do we know if we're in that independent space? And how do we know if we're in a codependent space? Like, it can be really difficult. And again, I don't think there's a clear answer to that question. It's just something that my husband and I have in our awareness. And so because we have that in our awareness, and because we have these types of words in our vocabulary, it's a topic that we revisit. And it's okay for us to talk about it, because we do want to maintain healthy independence in our relationship, but also a healthy dependence on each other, because that is what relationships are all about. So there's so much complexity. So it's not just about the life that you've built with this person, but, you know, your finances. If you share finances, that's a hard thing to separate. And I know for me, when my husband and I have talked about if staying in our relationship is for our best and highest good, we have had to, you know, explore the very difficult topic of, you know, what would we do? Where would we live separately? And how would we each support ourselves? Because currently we both have income and that supports us together. And it's much more cost effective for two people to support the children and one home and all of that than it is for two people with single incomes to support children on their own or to have to live in two separate houses. So there's a lot of complexity with the finances. If you have kids, that's another complex issue. Obviously, if you change your living situation and you are no longer married to the mother or father of your children, then that creates a whole new set of potential problems. Or maybe not problems, but you know, it changes things significantly. It changes the amount of time you spend with your kids. It changes the way that the kids are financially supported. It changes, you know, who takes the kids where and all of that. Obviously housing is another issue. And I touched on that earlier, that it's more cost effective for two people to pay for one house than it is for two people to pay for two houses. So, and that's just the like tangible stuff, right? There's also a lot of emotional complexity to this question. So I want to hold space for the fact that this is not an easy question to ask, and it's not an easy question to answer. However, I appreciate the bravery that it takes to ask a question like this. And that's where I want to start off with my answer. It's the fact that you're asking the question, that maybe before you were under the hidden programming of trauma, you were unhealed and you hadn't yet opened yourself up to the possibility of healing and what healing might require or what healing might look like. But now that you're open to the possibility and you're asking the question, this is a necessary question to ask. And anyone who is on a journey to heal themselves from trauma, from limiting beliefs, from old patterns of behavior that aren't serving them anymore, anyone who's embarking on a journey to heal has to be willing to ask hard questions like this. This is the kind of stuff that comes up, and it demands that we look at it under a microscope, you know, and we ask ourselves, what purpose is this serving for me? What purpose is this relationship serving for me? And so the fact that you're asking the question is a really good sign. I think that no matter what the answer ultimately ends up being for you, and it will be different for you than it is for somebody else, but whatever the answer ends up being for you, it's important that you're asking, because there is an openness there and there is an awareness there that probably wasn't there before. So take a moment and give yourself some credit for asking a hard question and for recognizing that you are in a place in your healing where you feel like you're stalled or stuck or you're not progressing as quickly as you would like. But from the other side, I see it as you're just at this necessary step in your journey. Like, this is the next thing that's coming up for you. And we don't have control over what comes up and when. It's just the way that life presents itself to us. Each moment is an opportunity to heal and level up, or to stay stuck, or to go backwards. And so this is the opportunity that has come up for you at this time in your journey. And I really applaud you for being brave enough to not gloss over it, not try to distract yourself from it, not try to make it go away or repress it or suppress it, but you're asking the question. So that, I think, is a great sign of your healing, actually, to even be willing to ask these hard questions. So don't think that you're not healing. Don't beat yourself up for not making progress, because I see your willingness to ask this question as a sign of healing and progress. So with that said, let's dig into a little bit more of the complexity of this question, and hopefully what I have to say will be supportive. So I think that this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. The only person we have control over is ourselves. We don't get to say when our partner heals or doesn't. We don't get to decide what issues they're working on. We don't get to insert ourselves into their process, because their process is their process and your process is your process. However, again, we are in relationship with these people. These are the people that we see every day. These are the people we're raising kids with. These are the people we're sharing finances with. They're the people we share home with. They're the people we share a bed with. Like, we can't deny that thinking about our relationships and the health of our relationships has to be part of our own individual healing journey. So in that way, it can feel pretty messy, because you stated that you feel like you're in an environment that is tormenting you, and yet life is complicated, and just leaving, even if that is the obvious answer, isn't realistic or tangible for a lot of people, because life is complicated. And I just want to come back to, the only person we can control is ourselves. The only person you can control is yourself. And you are clearly on a healing journey. You are doing your work. And if your partner is not on a healing journey and they are not doing your work, or they are not doing their work, excuse me, they can't do your work, then I think, again, you're asking the right question. Because personally, I know that I could not be in an intimate partnership with someone who wasn't willing to grow and develop as a person. I could not personally be with someone who always wanted to stay the same, who never wanted to change, who wanted to be stuck in the familiar, and who wasn't willing to look at themselves in the mirror and do the very hard and necessary work. And also, I personally could not be with someone who wasn't willing to ask hard questions like this question. I don't want there to be any off limits topics in my relationship. And my husband and I have worked really hard, and we have gone through hell and back a few times to create a relationship container that allows us to talk about anything. And so if you are in a relationship container and you can't talk about anything, I think that's a red flag. You know, that's a red flag. And maybe, again, here with the complexity, maybe you personally haven't felt like you could talk about anything. So maybe this is a you issue. However, maybe you have been in a pattern in your relationship with this person where neither of you has ever felt like you could talk about anything. You just haven't had that openness and honesty and transparency. And if you haven't, then that, again, for me, would be another red flag. But I think that that's something that can be worked on if both partners are willing to work on it. But ultimately, this is about you. This isn't about your partner. This is about you. It's not even really about your relationship. It's about you. It's about, what do you need to do in your healing? Like, what supports you in becoming the best version of yourself? I want to tell you about a friend of mine who is actually going through a divorce right now. And I invited her to record this episode with me, but she is an online entrepreneur as well. And she is very busy right now. And so she didn't have the time before the end of the month. And I wanted to get this episode published before the end of the month. So that's why it's just me. But she has taken the very difficult step of separating from her husband of 17 years. And it was during 2020 that she and I were spending a lot of time together. And at the beginning of 2020, she just sort of had this niggling feeling like, am I supposed to be in this relationship? Is this the right thing for me, for us? Like, just a wondering, a question. And by the end of 2020, she had made up her mind. Her husband had plans to move out, and they're moving forward with the divorce process. And her husband does not want the divorce. Her husband has tried every which way to win her back, to guilt her or manipulate her into staying. He's played the think about the children card. Like, there's been a lot of messiness in this process. But through it all, I've watched my friend as she didn't focus on her husband. She didn't even focus on the relationship and the dysfunctions in the relationship. And sure, she had complaints about her husband. Like, there were definitely things that he was doing in his life that he was not willing to change. They were unhealthy patterns. There was a lot of laziness. There was some, you know, solo drinking happening. There was lack of initiative, lack of motivation, a lot of empty promises, a lot of broken promises. A lot of words, but not a lot of action. And she was willing to ask the hard question of not, is this the relationship I'm supposed to be in? Because I think supposed to is like a very, I don't know, I hate the idea that like we're supposed to be in a relationship or not. Like, it's a choice. You know, you either choose to be in a relationship or you choose not to be. And I don't believe that there's only one person for everyone on the planet and we have to find that one person. Like, you are in a relationship with whoever you choose to be in a relationship with. But her question wasn't, am I supposed to be in this relationship? Her question was, does this relationship support me being the best version of myself? And ultimately, for her, it didn't. She decided, like, no, I can still grow. I can heal. I can change. But he won't. You know, he continues to be locked in these same patterns that he's been in for 17 years. And in a lot of ways, my friend felt like he was another kid and that she was having to mother him a lot. And so the relationship wasn't supporting her in being the best version of herself. And so even though they weren't fighting all the time, there wasn't a lot of drama happening. There certainly wasn't physical abuse, like nothing like that. It was just a simple, this relationship doesn't support me in being the best version of myself. And she knew that she had tried. She had asked if they could go to therapy. She had been open to reading different books together. She had been open to a lot of different things. She had suggested a lot of different things. And he just wasn't going to follow through. And so she had to make a decision, a choice. Does this relationship support me in being the best version of myself? And her answer to that question was no. But again, it takes bravery to ask that question to begin with. Because if the answer is no, then that, you know, once you know that this relationship doesn't support you in being the best version of yourself, like, you kind of have to force yourself to stay, you know, like, no longer is it something that you're not aware of. It's in your awareness. It's right in front of you. It's staring you in the face. And so if you know that this relationship or this person is not supporting you in becoming the best version of yourself, then when you choose to stay, you're choosing to be in a relationship that isn't supporting you. So again, the choice is yours, but that's ultimately really what that means. And my friend has 6 kids. And so obviously, like, there's a lot of responsibility and a lot of feelings and a lot of little people that she has to think of. And I remember her so clearly. I remember this because I just applauded her bravery. Is that she was like, no, I'm not worried about the kids. I know my kids will be okay because I want them to see me taking care of myself. She said, especially for my girls. I want my girls to see that I love myself enough not to settle for a relationship that doesn't support me. And for my boys, I want my boys to see that when their dad is on his own, he really does know how to step up and find that motivation and find that purpose that he seems to not be able to find for the 17 years that we've been together. And so she left her husband for her kids too. And her kids were not in danger. Like, her husband is a very nice man and he's a great dad. So her kids were not in danger. And I think that we have this like very false sense of or standard of what gives us permission to divorce. And like, it needs to be some dramatic, you know, hell that we go through where, you know, by the time there's a divorce happening, like, it's bitter and it's angry and there's so much ambivalence and unforgiveness and resentment. And like, it absolutely does not have to be that way. She just, my friend, just made a choice. And of course, she thought about it for a long time. I mean, I walked with her through that process and it took a long time. It took about a year. But in the end, she had to choose what was going to be the thing that supported her. And that's the only thing you can choose to. And so in order to make that choice, you have to be able to have hard conversations with your partner. And I think if you're at this point in your relationship, there may not be time to establish a pattern of honesty and transparency if it hasn't been there before, if there have been topics that you don't talk about that are off the table, that are off limits. You may not have the time to establish that now. And it may be that you have to take the first step and do this for yourself and have a hard conversation with your partner. And they're probably not going to like it. If they're not growing and healing themselves, then of course they're not supporting you and growing and healing. And this is where we can talk again about our friend, the nervous system. So we talk about this all the time, that our nervous system loves what is familiar. Whatever is familiar to our nervous systems is safe. And whatever is unfamiliar to our nervous systems is unsafe. So even if you are in an unhealthy, unsupportive partnership, your nervous system will feel safe in that environment because it's what it knows. And so when you think about not being in that environment anymore and what that could mean for you, it's normal to feel a lot of anxiety and fear because that would be unfamiliar. So even if not being in the relationship anymore is exactly what you need, many people can come to that realization, but then they're not able to move past the fear and the stuckness of the nervous system, aka the ego, aka the pain body. And so it becomes the nervous system and the ego that keep them stuck in an environment that isn't supportive, that isn't healthy, that isn't functional, that is dramatic or chaotic or less than what they deserve, whatever it is, they're locked into that situation and they're frozen because they don't know how to lean into the discomfort of the unfamiliar and push through it to keep going. And I think that you know, there's a lot of reasons why we don't know how to do this. Our society doesn't encourage us to take care of ourselves. Our society encourages us to always look out for others and think of others before you think of yourself. And, you know, all of this like unselfish language that we're quote unquote supposed to be in this world. And I do think we're supposed to be unselfish, but I think that it's okay and necessary to consider yourself and what is best for you. What is happiness for you? So as I said earlier in the recording, that I personally could not be in a relationship that did not support me being the best and highest version of myself. I could not do that. My husband could not do that. And sure, we love each other. Sure, we're committed to each other. But ultimately, the reason that we're still in this relationship is because it supports us in growing. My husband and I, in the container of our relationship, have had opportunities for personal and collective growth that we would not have had, if we hadn't been in this relationship. And in that way, it has supported us in being the best versions of ourselves because we took each opportunity to grow and we grew. We didn't stay stuck. We didn't stay stagnant. We didn't stay in the familiar. Trust me, my relationship now compared to what it looked like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, completely different. You wouldn't even recognize it as the same relationship. And that's because both of us have grown and changed so much. And that growth and change was not easy. It was painful, but it was either that or keep repeating the same old patterns of dysfunction and unhealthiness that we had always been in. And we weren't willing to do that. You know, and so staying together for us was about, does this relationship create a container that supports us in being the best versions of ourselves? But when one person is working on their shit, one person's getting healthy, one person's investing the time, the energy, the resources into personal growth and healing, and the other person isn't, whew, that's tough. That's really, really tough. And it's actually tough for both of you. Like, I don't want you to hear me say that and think that I'm just saying it's tough for you because you're the one who's growing and changing and healing and up-leveling and all of that. It's also tough for your partner because they have a nervous system too, and their nervous system loves the familiar too. So their nervous system is familiar with the same thing that your nervous system is familiar with, and that is the dysfunction of the relationship. So if it's scary for you, I promise you, it's scary for them too. They just may not have the vocabulary to be able to express it the way that I'm expressing it. So this is difficult for both of you. Even if your partner is on autopilot, even if they have no idea what's going on inside of you because you haven't been able to have those hard conversations, energetically, I believe that they can pick that up and they may not have a way to express it, but I believe that energetically they can feel it, just like you can feel it energetically, even if you don't have conversations with your partner about it. So it's difficult for both of you, and it's because both of you are in this sort of liminal space where one of you now has awareness that something isn't working and that it's not supporting you in healing and growing and becoming the best version of yourself. And the other one is still living under the same patterns that they've always been living under, but now there's this energetic component where they can sense that their partner is discontent in some way, dissatisfied in some way. And so maybe your partner can sense this dissatisfaction or this question that you have, and maybe they're trying to cling on to you even more tightly. Maybe they're trying to control you even more, and you didn't even have to say anything. But they may have sort of doubled down on you because they can energetically sense and it's unfamiliar and uncomfortable for their nervous system. So you're just going to have to lean into the fear and into the discomfort, and you're going to have a hard conversation with your partner. It has to start with communication. It absolutely has to start with communication. And you may not be able to answer the question, does this relationship support me being the best version of myself? Maybe you can't answer that question yet. That's okay. You're asking it. That's the most important thing. But now it's time to stop asking that question just inside of yourself. And it's time to open up to your partner and present that question to them. And then they have a choice. They have a choice too. So maybe when you present this to your partner, maybe they will want to come alongside you and start doing some growth and some healing for themselves. Again, you don't get a say over that. You don't get to control that. I would even say you don't even get to suggest stuff to them. Because each of us has our own path and we have to figure it out for ourselves. Now, if they ask you for help, cool, give it to them. Tell them what's worked for you. Tell them to listen to the podcast. Tell them to read whatever books have been helpful for you. Tell them to follow on Instagram, whatever accounts have been helpful for you. Like, of course, you can make suggestions. But ultimately, the decision to change and grow is only and can only ever be a personal decision. And the choice to stay or to leave also has to be a personal decision. And so I'm just holding space for you. I have been in a similar situation, and I honestly, I know how hard it is. I know how much fear and discomfort and anxiety is involved. It's not a fun place to be, but you're asking the right question. And so there were some things shared in the forum by other people besides myself that I want to come back to because I think that they are great for this episode. So one member said, "It took me a long time to realize that I was using so much time and energy in my own healing journey to try and fix, change, wish my family would be different, take accountability for themselves, etc. But the only thing I've seen that works and continues to work is to do my own work, get those boundaries in place, be consistent, show the way." And that she actually had about 2 years to do her healing journey by herself. She lived alone. She had lots of time with herself. And eventually she got lonely and felt isolated and was ready to call in other people. And so she asked a really good question. I love this question so much. And that is the environment you're in now still the one you would choose if you were healed? Or would you choose something different for yourself? I think that is a brilliant question. You're in this environment now. Let's say that you were healed, totally healed, which we will never be in this lifetime because that's not what it's about. But let's just pretend you're totally healed. You've worked on your shit. You've excavated your stuff. You've overcome fears. You've tackled codependency. You've learned how to set boundaries. You're regulating your nervous system. Like, you're feeling healed. You're feeling good. Would you still choose to be in this relationship with this person? Now, this is assuming that they haven't done any work, right? Because again, they have to choose to do that for themselves. Their work is their work. So we're not saying that both of you are healed, that both of you have done this work. We're saying if you've done it and they're still at where they're at, would you still choose to be in this relationship or would you choose something different for yourself? So it's a great question. Just to sit with that for a moment. And I think that this applies to anyone listening, even if your romantic partnership or your marriage is healthy, what other things do you have in your life that may not be serving you and being the best person that you can be? Maybe it's a job, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's, you know, something else, but like if you were healed, would you choose that same job? Would you choose that same friendship? Would you choose that same spouse? You know? So I think it's important to ask that question. I love that question. And then another member also gave a really brilliant answer. And that is part of it is, does your partner respect you and your needs? When you express a need, is there understanding and acceptance, or are you belittled or mocked or shut down? If you can't express your needs safely, it will be hard for you to find the room to heal in the environment you're currently in. And then she goes on to say, in long-term relationships with kids, we often feel stuck, like there's no way forward without destroying everyone's lives, but that's simply not true. The black and white thinking is only a result of the trauma of living in confinement for so long. Some of the confinement we have created, other times we consented to the confinement. Either way, the path to healing is to trust that your devotion to your own healing will help everyone in your family heal. When you leave an unhealthy situation, you show your kids what not to endure. You show them how to be brave and learn to set boundaries. That's what we all want for our kids, but fear that we'll end up breaking their hearts in the process. The truth is, we can't protect our kids from heartbreak. We can only show them how to mend. So you are on the verge of doing that for your children. And that is exactly echoing what my friend in real life said about leaving her husband and what that would do for her children. She chose not to align with the outcome that they would be devastated. She chose to align with the outcome that her children would see her healing, growing, taking care of herself, and that would inspire them to never ever settle for less than the best for them, and for relationships that don't support them in being their best selves. So you're asking the right questions. Just keep asking. I would encourage you to journal, maybe journal about this every day. Obviously, if you don't have a therapist, I encourage you to find one if that feels right for you, preferably a trauma-informed therapist. And preferably something that's not talk therapy or cognitive behavioral therapy, something like EMDR can really be helpful in breaking those old patterns, taking advantage of the neuroplasticity of the brain and forming new pathways. And then if you do have that hard conversation with your partner and they're open to seeking help and going to therapy, I think that that's a really good sign too. But I think, all of that aside, the biggest complexity here is, what does your intuition say? What is that inner knowing inside of you? What is it saying? Do you already know what you need? And there's just a lot of fear and discomfort present because it's unfamiliar to your nervous system, because staying stuck might feel safer than being free. Do you already know the answer to your question and you're hoping that somebody will give you a different answer than the one you already know? I've certainly done that many times. So if that's where you find yourself, then don't beat yourself up about it. I think it's very normal when we know something deep down and it's something we don't want to know, but we do know it, and we try all different kinds of ways to make it be something that it isn't. But do you already know? You know, you can ask people for advice, you can read books, you can do all of this, but you know already deep down, there is an inner knowing, there is an intelligence in you that knows. It has the answer already. That is your highest self. That is the best and highest version of you. It already knows what you need. Are you listening to those messages, or are you just afraid? And if it is fear, the good news is that that can be overcome. We can overcome fear, and it requires leaning into that discomfort, just one breath, one moment, one day at a time. So I hope that this was helpful for whoever is listening. I don't think that this is an uncommon question. It may be one we don't see written out or asked out loud very often, but I think that anyone who's been in any kind of long-term partnership and has done any kind of healing work on themselves, I think that this is a very natural and normal and necessary question to be asking. So I applaud you for asking it. And I believe that it ultimately doesn't matter what I say, what anybody else says, what you read in books. Ultimately, what matters is your inner knowing. What is your intuition nudging you to do? And are you willing to listen to it? Are you willing to follow it? Because that's the best and highest version of you. So I hope this was helpful. I hope it was supportive to anyone listening, and especially to the person who asked the question. And now we have two bonus episodes for July. So just to remind everybody, our Circle Zoom call is on the last Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Central Time. So that means that July's Circle call is coming up on Tuesday, July 27th at 7 p.m. Central Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 5 p.m. Pacific Time. We have a special guest coming to July's Circle Zoom call. It is Chelsea Horton. By popular demand, Chelsea is coming to lead us in an embodiment practice, and I'm sure we'll talk about all kinds of other fun stuff too. So you definitely don't want to miss that live call, but if you can't make it to the live, you can always log into the member area and watch previous Circle Zoom calls. They are recorded and uploaded for you every month so that you can watch them if you missed them. And I think that's all I have for you today. I hope everyone has a beautiful and blessed week, and I will talk to you soon.